Good morning. Never quite know where to stand when we have this baptismal font up here. It takes my normal spot. So I always feel a little farther away when I preach from all the way up here, and even taller than normal. But maybe that's just right for the occasion. It is a joyful day, even though we be in the second week of Lent. It is a celebratory day as we prepare to celebrate the sacrament of holy baptism. And I was reflecting on that a little bit this week, because typically for us, Lent is a season where we prepare ourselves for baptism, a season where those who've not yet been baptized and those who've been separated from the church for a reason prepare themselves to re-enter into communion with God, re-enter into the church, and re-enter into the covenantal relationship that we have with God. And so typically, in the Episcopal Church, we renew our baptismal covenant 5 or 6 times a year on the days that are particularly appropriate for baptism. Easter, Pentecost, All Saints, Baptism of Our Lord. These Sundays we hold up as particularly appropriate for baptism, and they're days where we often use the baptismal covenant in the worship service instead of our normal Nicene Creed. And it's a little bit more participatory, because you actually feel like you're answering the questions in the baptismal covenant versus the creed, where we're making statements of belief. And as we prepared for this week, I was actually really excited that we get to use the baptismal covenant in worship during Lent, because what better reminder to us of, as we examine the covenant relationship between ourselves and God, and that introspective notion of Lent, than to actually read the covenant as part of Lent. And I wonder if we wouldn't be better served reading the baptismal covenant every week during Lent. Maybe something for us to consider as we look at our liturgical changes season by season in years to come. But I'm really excited that we get to use it today, and I'm really excited that the readings, once again, talk so much about covenant. Now, the reading we have in Genesis is quite spectacular. And I mentioned last week that we had a sequence of covenant-based readings. I suggested to you that perhaps the original covenant, although we don't use the word covenant, is with Adam and Eve. The first time we use the word covenant with Noah, it's still pretty simple in its relationship. Noah did what God asked him to do, and God promised to never wipe out all of humanity with the flood again. We have the rainbow as a reminder of this promise. As we move into the covenant relationship with Abraham, it's more complex, and it continues to grow in its complexity as we move through Scripture. Now, I don't know about you, I often begin Lent with some spiritual disciplines. I hope that you're using the season of Lent to engage in some disciplines. Yeah, actually, to be fair, I should probably make this disclaimer before Lent, but usually I begin Lent with like a good 10 or 12 disciplines, knowing that I won't be able to keep them all up. And as they gradually fall away, I try to make sure that I retain at least one through the whole season. And what some people will say, this is planned failure or hedging my bets. I just look at it as a chance to try out a bunch of things and figure out what I can actually stick to. But it's been fruitful for me. So for those who might try this approach, we're about 20% through Lent. So if you started with 10, I hope you still have 8. You see where I'm going with this. All right, good. Now, if reading Scripture is one of your Lenten disciplines, let me encourage you, and even actually if it's not, let me encourage you today, or even sometime this week, to read the entire story of Abraham. It's not tremendously long. It begins around chapter 12 of Genesis, and don't look for the word Abraham in 12, because he gets renamed in today's lesson. If you weren't listening, you can see it in chapter 17. He gets renamed. So look for Abram around chapter 12. God calls Abram at the then young age of 75 to leave the land that he knows and enter a new land. to leave the land that he knows, to leave his home, the fields that he knows, the crops that he knows, the animals that he knows, the water source that he knows, the area that he knows. No big deal. At 75, and enter a new land. So the covenant relationship begins when Abram engages in this covenantal relationship with God and demonstrates that he trusts God enough to make big changes with his life. He trusts God enough to move in faith that things will be taken care of and that God will somehow fulfill the promises that he's making to Abram. The scholars, biblical scholars I read about this passage in chapter 17 says it is perhaps the best summary of the covenant relationship that God begins with Abraham. And it's the passage where he's renamed. If you look, though, you'll notice we read like verses 1 through 7 and then we skip some verses and move over to like 13 to 15 or something. And we skip the verses where we are told about the sign of the covenant. Some of us know with Abraham, it's circumcision. It's a little uncomfortable, so they erase that part for lectionary purposes. It's a bit traumatic, I think, for many. But it's a move where they demonstrate, once again, Abraham demonstrates his commitment to God. And God promises him, well, it's funny because when God promises himself, Abraham now, 99 years old, falls on his face. Now, I don't know if you're like me, 99-year-old falls on his face, I'm a little bit worried. But the life expectancy in this era is a little bit different. We read about how Noah and others lived hundreds of years, not 99 tends to be towards the end of our lives these days. We're lucky if we reach 99. I suspect Abraham may have fallen over in shock and awe. He may have fallen over. He may have been laying on the floor laughing his head off at this point at what God is promising him and the expectation, and he's not sure that he can fulfill it. But I think as Abraham, contemplates it, he knows. He knows enough about God, having begun this covenant some years ago at 75, in all reality, probably began it far before that, and only really steps forward in faith in it at 75. I'm grateful that today the sign of the covenant that we hold with God is different. The sign of the covenant that we hold with God today is baptism. What a fantastic illustration the lectionary has afforded us this great day as we gather around our baptismal font and prepare to baptize those who step forward ready to make a commitment of faith today. And yet, we have to hold this passage from Genesis in tandem with the gospel. And the gospel is scary today. The gospel, especially as we prepare to bring forward infants for baptism, for those who want to gain the life in covenant with God must lose their life. Now, I think in part this is why we baptize so young, because for us today, we read in this gospel not just a losing of life, but a death to the old way of things, a dying away of our life prior to Jesus. A giving away of all that existed before we had a covenantal relationship, before we enter into a baptismal covenant, and entering into a new life, a life profound, a life in covenant with Jesus, where we make commitments and renew them through the sacraments as we gather to support those who commit themselves. And we gather to be nourished by the sacraments that we receive here each week, reminded by the covenant that we establish with God, a reminder of a covenant that's been established and continues from the time of Abraham forward to today. That the foundational elements of our covenantal relationship begin with Abraham. Sacred meal behind us. Initiation and cleansing by water. Early in the relationship with God. As we witness the commitment of those who are about to receive the sacrament of baptism, and we renew our own commitment. Let us remind ourselves to put away what was before Christ. Put away the things that distract us from Christ. To remove as many distractions as possible and renew our own commitment. A deep and abiding commitment. An everlasting commitment that God makes to Abraham, that his descendants, kings, and many others would continue the heritage of a relationship deep and abiding with God. This is the covenant we have committed to. This is the covenant that we witness. Are you ready?
Yes.
You gotta say amen.
Amen.